Rose Long.
Dr. Elizabeth Ortiz de Valdez, Concilio Latino de Salud.
Hello, Cornelia here.
Estela McDonald from UMass Memorial in Massachusetts.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
This is the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters Paving the Way.
Marissa Rosado.
Good morning. You've reached the National Council-sponsored National Open Call on Medical or Healthcare Interpreter Certification.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're actually before time, and we already have some people on the call. Good morning. This is the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters National Open Call.
Yes, good morning. Marlene Hudson calling from Santa Rosa, California.
Good morning. Glad you've joined us.
Thank you.
This is the National Council on Interpreting in Healthcare sponsored call on healthcare interpreting certification. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Oh, we're going to have 100 before our time even begins.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. You've reached the National Council on Interpreting in Healthcare National Open Call.
Yes, this is Rose Long from Cross Cultural Healthcare Program.
Rose Long, good morning. This is the NCIHC Open Call on Healthcare Interpreter Certification.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Good morning. Lucio Santos from Milford Regional Medical Center.
Good morning. Welcome to the NCIHC Open Call.
Thank you.
Ingeborg Fells from Scottsdale Healthcare.
Good
Hello
morning.
There.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Ada.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Maggie.
This is First Leva.
Nancy Fernandez, Gilbert, Arizona.
Good morning.
Amanda Leon-Vargas.
Okay, I can tell a lot of people are joining us. I'm Cornelia Brown, facilitating.
Olga Kulkarni, New York.
Hi, Cornelia. It's Eric Hart.
Oh, Eric, great to hear you. Okay, this is the NCIHC Open Call on Health Interpreter Certification.
Angelica. Cornelia, it's Angelica. I'm here.
Good morning. Great. Welcome.
Yes,
or good afternoon, I guess I should say, for those on the East Coast.
Hi, this is Louise with Cook Children's in Fort Worth, Texas.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Noelle Fortier with Northside Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia.
Great. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Gazira Tabuchi.
Welcome again. This is the NCIHC-sponsored open call on certification for healthcare interpreters.
Hello, this is Irene Rector from Sale American.
Hello, this is Laura Nakazawa from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Welcome to the call. Let me just remind everyone, please don't use cell phones and don't use speaker phones. I'll remind you again, but just to give you a pre-warning.
Hi, this is Beverly Truman from Healthcare Interpreter Network.
Okay, welcome to the call.
This is Jacqueline Rush from the Vermont Refugee Resettlement Service.
Good afternoon. This is Olga Kulkarni from Metropolitan Hospital Center, New York.
Welcome. Great. We have New York City on
Thank
the call.
Thank you.
This, again, is an NCIHC-sponsored national open call on healthcare interpreter certification.
Hi, this is Magali, Spanish interpreter from Milford Regional Medical Center in Milford, Massachusetts.
Janet Bonnet.
Good. Welcome to the call. This is the National Council-sponsored open call on healthcare interpreter certification. You've come to the right place, I hope.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Kamai-Praxis.
Welcome. It's still not the time for starting the call, and we seem to have quite a few people on, so please, if everyone would be patient, it's going to take us another 5 minutes or so just to wait while more people join us, and then we'll get going.
It is somewhat confusing that we hear voices and we don't know if we're being acknowledged or not.
I can't quite hear you, but if you ask whether the call is being recorded, it is being recorded.
Oh, good. So you will be hearing a lot of voices, and we're all going to be interrupting, and it's going to
No. We won't have people interrupting each other. There's a lot of interruption when people first sign on the call.
Okay.
We hope that the call will not be conducted in that manner.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good question.
Hello. My name is Ashley Mai, and I'm with Swedish Medical Center.
Hello. Welcome to the call. Again, this is the NCIHC
I'm in Arizona.
Call, welcome.
Thank you.
You reached the National Council-sponsored open call on certification for healthcare interpreters.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes. hello, welcome, everybody. I think a lot of new people are signing on. So just if you could be patient, we'll be starting our call in about 5 more minutes after we've had time to allow people to arrive.
Hello, this is Linda Joyce, from consultant from West Virginia.
Welcome. Hey, I think that might be the first West Virginia. I've heard people from East, West, and Middle.
Hello, this is Diana Donnelly. I'm calling from Miami, Florida, University of Miami.
Wonderful. Welcome.
This is Kathy West, calling from Washington, D.C.
Welcome.
Esther Diaz, calling from Austin, Texas.
Great.
Hello, Esther.
Hi. It's a little hard to hear you from Phoenix, Arizona. Just remember, please don't use cell phones and don't use speaker phones.
No, I have my
speak up,
phone.
Okay.
Elizabeth Ortiz de Valdez. I actually entered before you were in the line.
Okay.
That is
good.
Elizabeth Ortiz de Valdez, Concilio Latino de Salud, Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
This is Martine Pierre-Louis from Seattle, Washington.
Oh, Martine, this is Cornelia Brown, facilitating. Nice to hear you.
Oh, hello, Cornelia.
Hello. So, everybody, this is the NCIHC-sponsored open call on certification for healthcare interpreters, Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters, paving the way. So
Cornelia,
what we're doing right now is waiting. Yes, hello?
Cornelia, this is Ada Cases calling from Wilbur, Massachusetts, with Andrew Jerger, Cross-Cultural Communications.
Oh, great. Okay, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi.
This is Edgardo Garcia calling from Children's Medical Center, Dallas, Texas. Hello, Esther. How are you doing?
Welcome. I know we have several people here from Texas.
Hi, Edgar. I'm muting myself. I won't.
Maryland.
Real quick. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Somebody asked if we're going to have interruptions throughout the call, and the answer is no. We hope that we will not, but it's inevitable in the beginning when so many people arrive so quickly. So just please bear with us, and 3-4 minutes or so we'll get going. We're just giving people time to arrive.
This is Dr. Federiuk from Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome.
This is Angela Reyes from Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome. We've got several people from Atlanta.
Hello?
I hear a humming. I don't know who that is, but if you know who it is, please stop the humming. cell phones and speaker phones create all kinds of unwelcome noises. Does anyone have an idea what might be causing that sound?
Someone may have put us on hold.
Oh, yes. That's thanks for mentioning that. Well, for everybody who didn't put us on hold, please don't.
Cornelia, this is Laura, and I'm on.
Hello. Okay, welcome. I'm afraid someone's put the call on hold, but we can't tell them not to.
Okay.
So for all the rest of you, please don't put the call on hold, because you can hear it creates a bad sound. Okay, now I think it's gone away. That's good.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Enrique Armani from Indianapolis.
All right. We're going to get started pretty soon.
Hello, and I'm going to mute in case it's my phone.
Thank you. Everybody, again, this is the NCIHC-sponsored national open call on the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters, paving the way for healthcare interpreter certification. Okay.
Monica,
you're welcome. So it seems to me we must have at least 100 people on the call. I can't tell. Many people. from all over the United States. I don't know if there's, is there anyone from any other country on the call other than the United States? No, okay, well, but Jen, definitely we're well represented from, it seems that every state is on the call, that's terrific.
Some of us represent other countries by birth.
I can't hear you. Who's that?
This is Irene Rector from Salem, Oregon, and I say that some of us represent other countries by birth.
Absolutely, yes. I'm sorry, that was ambiguous. Thank you very much. Absolutely, I should have thought of that.
That's
but I meant
that's
also
right.
Located, currently sitting in another country.
Right.
Very good, good point. Thank you. All right. Well, I think it's about time to get started with some of the background for the call, so because we want to be sure to give everyone a chance to participate and to learn as much as possible from this open call. Right now, I'm going to begin by introducing myself. My name is Cornelia Brown. I'm a member of the Outreach Committee of the National Council on Interpreting Healthcare and also director of MAMI, Mommy Interpreters in Central New York. We have from our Outreach Committee, we have Angelica Paz, who is our co-chair, and we have Jem, who is our Douth, who is our executive director of the National Council. We're delighted to have them on the call, and we are also going to have four honored guests and presenters on this call. All four of them are members of the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters. The title of this national open call is Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters, Paving the Way. this just a few words about the open calls in general. As some of you may know, the National Council on Interpreting Healthcare Outreach Committee has been sponsoring these national open calls for almost 8 years. And the idea of these national open calls is to set up a dialogue between the National Council and everybody else in the country to learn about medical and healthcare interpreting issues nationwide and to give people nationwide a voice in the policies that are being set up in healthcare interpretation. So all the more wonderful that so many of you are on this call. After the call, as I'm going to say again, you'll be able to get information about the call itself and also about the National Council on Interpreting and Healthcare and its Outreach Committee on the NCIHC website. Here is a brief outline of the call. It's going to last an hour and a half. The call is being recorded. Yes, are you there? Okay. Hello. Just enter the call. No need to introduce yourself now. You'll have a chance later. This call is being recorded, and it will be available. The recording will be available in an MP3 file for access after the call is done, following a few days for us to process it. The recording will be posted on the NCIHC website and will be accompanied by a link to an outline of the call. During the call, what are we going to do? So what we're going to do is after I'm finished talking to you a little about the background and the procedures, we're going to spend 30 to 35 minutes listening to the presentations of our four guest speakers. And after that, having listened and learned from, listened to the speakers and learned a lot from them, you all will have, the rest of the participants will have the opportunity to participate in a guided discussion, and that will last about 45 minutes. We need to be very careful given there are so many people on the call that we don't interrupt each other. So we ask you, please, throughout the call while other people are talking and you have something to say, just jot down your thoughts and your ideas and save them, and then you'll have an opportunity to share them with everybody during the guided discussion at the end of the call, which, again, will last for about 45 minutes. And now a few words about mechanics of our call. Please, you will have a chance to introduce yourself later. No need to do it now. If you would please introduce yourself later during the guided discussion just before you speak. And I'll give you a little more instruction about that later on. For now, if you could please follow these procedures so that we'll be able to hear each other. First of all, if you have a lot of background noise where you are, if you would please mute your line. Also, if someone is speaking, if you please mute your line while that's going on. To mute your line, press star 6. And to unmute the line later on, if you want to speak, press star 6 again. Please do not interrupt our speakers during their presentations, and do not put the call on hold, as we've already discussed. It creates lots of buzzing and all kinds of interference, sound interference. Also, please use only a landline for the call. Do not use a cell phone. Do not use a speaker phone. So does anyone have a question about those mechanics? All right, fantastic. So now we're going to proceed to a very interesting introduction to our call. As I said, we have four presentations from four members of the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters. Our first presenter will be Mara Eubelman. She is chair of the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters. She is senior attorney at the National Health Law Program, where she chairs a national coalition of advocates, interpreters, providers, and others to advance language access issues at the federal level. And Mara and the other presenters will speak somewhere between from 5 to 8 minutes or so. So, Mara, are you on the call?
I'm here.
Wonderful. So the floor is yours, Mara.
Great. Well, I am thrilled to be joining you all and am very excited, particularly as we can get to the discussion part after we give you some of the background of CCHI, to hear what your thoughts are on the development of national certification for healthcare interpreters. Thank you, Cornelia and Angelica Paz and the National Council for hosting this call and inviting us to come, because we really are very committed to getting the feedback from folks who are working with us in the development of certification. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the background of CCHI.
Jim Smith from Vassar Brothers.
I'm hoping that lots of folks have been getting our monthly updates, which have been posted to the NCIHC listserv. But the Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters, or CCHI, was launched back in September with the sole mission of creating a national, valid, credible, vendor-neutral certification program for healthcare interpreters. And we have assembled just a stellar group of commissioners and advisors and consultants to work with us in the development of certification. Of our commissioners, more than half of them are practicing interpreters. We've also assembled advisors, both folks who work in healthcare provider or policy-related settings, such as folks from the American Medical Association and the American Hospital Association and the Federal Office of Minority Health and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, folks who ultimately will be interested in the results of certification and we think are very important to have participating with us so that they understand the development of certification and its ultimate importance when it is ready. We also are working with a number of folks who are experts in the certification world, who really can help guide the development of certification to make sure that it is valid and credible and meets the very high standards that not only has CCHI set for itself, but that are set by national organizations who will come in and which we will apply to accredit CCHI certification program when we're up and running. Someone sounds like they're at the airport or something. You can get a lot more information about our commissioners and our advisors on our website. CCHI is also contracting with a number of consultants who have decades of experience developing certification programs.
Excuse me, somebody has their speakerphone on and we're getting feedback.
Would you please
turn off your speakerphone and listen to the headset? Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you. No speakerphones and no putting the call on hold and no cell phones, please.
And star 6 if you want to mute yourself.
Yes.
So let me just quickly talk about some of the expert consultants we've had working with us. The first step of developing certification is to gather data from interpreters, interpreter supervisors, and trainers across the country to find out what interpreters actually are doing on the job right now. That is what certification tests must address. We can't talk about what we think interpreters should be doing, what we want the profession to be doing in the next 5 years. The responsibility of developing a certification exam is to develop an exam that will test what interpreters are doing on the job right now. And so the first step in that process is gathering that data. And so we can't, what we're doing right now is we're working with a company called Advantis, which has over 30 years of working, developing certification programs across the country and with many other allied health fields.
What?
Sorry, it's a little hard, but you know, we just
please,
I'll keep plowing
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, please, everyone, don't put on the mute if you have any thought that you might be creating extra noise on sound interference.
Thanks, guys. And so, what Advantis is doing is leading the commissioners through the process of developing and then administering this national survey. So, about 2 weeks ago, we pulled together 10 interpreters from across the country to represent the depth and the breadth of the interpreting profession. And these folks came from all over the country, came with different backgrounds related to age, gender, their languages that they interpret, the practice settings that they interpret in, their educational background, and a number of other factors. And we really tried to get folks who really could represent the depth and breadth of the profession. It's not just the commissioners who need to determine what is certification. We need to get a representative sample. And those folks met in Chicago and spent 2 days tirelessly working to identify the knowledge and the skills and the abilities that interpreters must have to interpret. And from that 2-day session, we are now putting together the survey that will be released early in January nationally to gather this data from all of you. And that's the first step in developing certification. And there's many decisions we can't make until we have that data, because we cannot go in with any preconceived notions about what a certification exam can be. That would violate the national norms and standards for how you develop valid and credible certification.
Myra, I'm sorry to interrupt. Just, you have another 5 minutes, but just to call your attention to that.
Yep, great.
Yeah.
So once we get to the gathering of that national data through this survey, and we will send information out when that survey is available, and we hope all of you will participate and get others to participate, we can then develop the specifications and the blueprint for the examination. And so there's a really great timeline on CCHI's website that outlines all of the steps that you need to do to develop certification. And so we will be following these, and we've been talking very much with folks from the Institute for Credentialing Excellence, which is a new name for NOCA, about what it takes and how you actually develop a valid certification program. There have been a couple other questions that we seem to get on a regular basis that I do want to try to address before I turn it over to some of my colleagues. One of the questions that comes up a lot is, assuming...
Okay, whoever has their phone on speakerphone, would you please turn off the speakerphone part?
Joanna Ramos in Seattle, Washington.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mara.
All right, it sounds like that a little bit better. So one of the questions, assuming certification is successful, should it be referenced in the law? And this is a question we get a lot, and I want to really try to clarify that the certification program that we are developing is voluntary. Certification is not something that becomes mandatory. It's not something that CCHI would require. What can happen is sometimes states will actually establish state licensure for a profession, such as interpreters, and they may reference a requirement to be certified as a condition of state licensure. But we are not expecting that CCHI certification, when it becomes available, would be referenced in law, should be referenced in federal law or state law. Another question that we get a lot is, what is the training that an interpreter will have to pass the certification exam? And this is an information that we actually will be gathering through that national survey. We're going to ask folks what training they've been in, what the content was, what the length was, etc.
But CCHI is not going to recommend or endorse a particular training program. That's not something certification programs generally do. Rather, when we gather that data, analyze the data, and develop the blueprint for our test, we will be looking at the different types of knowledge, skills, and abilities that interpreters must have. And then we will set some prerequisites. And the prerequisites may include education or training.
Everyone, please put your phones on mute. There's a lot of sound interference. Thank you, Mara. Sorry.
When you put your phone in the Okay. So the issue is that we're not going to recommend a specific training program. As folks know, the National Council is actually developing national standards for training, and so that's something that NCIC has taken on, and we look forward to getting the results and working with them as that process develops. But CCHI is not specifically going to be focused on the training side of things. Folks have also been asking us a lot, will we tell interpreters about the contents of the certification exam before it's offered? Absolutely. We're going to make as much information as possible public as we can. Of course, we can't display all of the test questions because that sort of defeats the purpose of having a certification exam. But we will release a report on our job task analysis survey, so you'll get information about the different knowledge, skills, and abilities that we're going to be looking at developing a test for. We'll be releasing a test blueprint, and then we'll be releasing a handbook for certification applicants that will help explain the process of the test and what will be expected and the general content areas that will be covered in the exam. So we really look forward to working with all of you over the next year as this process develops, and we expect that we will have our first certification examination available in the fall of 2010, and really look forward to working with you both in the development and once the certification test is available, in ensuring that folks know and are prepared to take the certification exam as much as they would like to be. So at this point, I'm turning it back to Cornelia, who will introduce some of the other commissioners who are going to be sharing information with you, and look forward to hearing your thoughts and comments.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mara, for a very informational and at the same time relatively brief presentation. Now it's my honor to introduce a second commissioner on the CCHI, and this is Catherine Anderson. Since 2003, Catherine Anderson has been manager of the Language and Cultural Services Department at Jewish Vocational Service, JVS, of Kansas City, Missouri, a program providing interpreter services and training with the goal of raising the standard of care for the region's limited English proficient communities. Previously, Catherine Anderson worked in Boston for 22 years as an educator, journalist, and advocate for immigrants' rights to health care, and she is another commissioner, as I said before, on the CCHI. Catherine Anderson, are you with us?
Hi there, Cornelia.
Thank you. Catherine, if you could just limit your remarks just a little bit shorter than Mara, sort of 6-7 minutes, that would be wonderful.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Greetings to everybody. One question that comes up quite a bit is whether or not certification for interpreters can be fair for interpreters of languages of lesser diffusion, and that would be interpreters for the new refugee group, or those who interpret in any of the indigenous languages from Latin America. These interpreters sometimes, not always, may have challenges with word equivalencies or challenges with cultural brokering, for instance. But what makes me so enthusiastic about this certification program is that fairness is assured from the very beginning by the methods used to design it. And Mara has already gone through a bit about the job task analysis panel and the steps that were taken to create it. So I won't repeat too much, but what assures me of the fairness is that the methods are inductive, you know, from the ground up, not the mainstream down. First, as you learned, as a commission, we identified how the interpreting profession is represented by gender, age, education, all those individual demographics. Then we looked at career demographics, such as years of experience, career path, language acquisition. We also looked at practice demographics, employer type, community density, geographic location, practice setting, and, of course, language. It was a true snapshot of what's going on in the field. Now, from these demographics, we then worked to select, as Mara said, 10 highly representative interpreters to serve on the job task analysis panel. These were interpreters from all walks of life, not just the mainstream, but also from, you know, non-traditional settings, not just hospitals, for instance, and also practitioners who are new to the profession. on. And they drafted the job task analysis survey from which the certification program is going to be developed. And as Mara said, in early January, the survey is going to be sent to thousands of interpreters and interpreter administrators and trainers, again, from every walk of life, every demographic. And the survey does ask the person taking it to identify himself or herself in terms of those categories. This is a broad yet deep survey, and it's the foundation from which the certification process is built. If differences emerge in any one of the domains, we'll flag those challenges and they'll be addressed, and that way assurance, fairness is assured. Another question that comes up is how will certification benefit community-based organizations such as mine and other refugee resettlement agencies, other agencies working directly in communities. Like many of you, I work in one of those refugee resettlement agencies where we work with people from all the countries of Africa, from Asia, as well as the Middle East, and we also collaborate with social service agencies, schools, and government agencies who may not have resources such as hospitals to develop interpreter assessment programs. Yet at the same time, they need interpreters.
Hi, this is Angel Pagan from Temple University Health Systems, Manager for Linguistic Services.
Yeah,
they need them, urgently, immediately, but, they don't have the resources to do any kind of assessment. Now, at the same time, the interpreters coming from the community have rich and deep experiences in their own field, their own interpreter field. What the certification would do would be...
Kathy, it's Cornelia, it's very hard to hear you. Please turn off your speakerphones, mute.
Oh, I've got everything off.
Don't put people on hold. I'm not saying it's you, somebody.
Okay.
Kathy, speak up as much as you can. Thank you.
Okay.
And if somebody absolutely
has
to have their speakerphone, take the receiver far away from the speaker. You're creating feedback, and we're hearing the same information over and over again, and it loops back again. So please, don't use your speakerphone. Thank you.
Well, just to recap, certification would ensure that interpreters hired, usually the part-time freelance community interpreters, would have the knowledge, skills, and ability to deliver an accurate interpretation. Now, another question is, what can healthcare interpreters do now to become involved? And I would just encourage all of you to go to the website, healthcareinterpretercertification.org. Three words, all is one word. Get on the mailing list and keep up with news and events coming up. Please stay current on what's going on. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Catherine Anderson, for answering those crucial questions. Now, our third presenter is also a commissioner with the CCHI, and I hope I can pronounce your name correctly, but if I can't, please correct me. Frederick Boambangi is the manager of translation and interpreting services at Spectrum Health, which is an integrated health system based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Fred provides leadership and accountability for the development and implementation of system-wide translation and interpretation systems. He is a KIS Swahili interpreter and currently serves as commissioner at the CCHI. Please, are you there, Frederick? And could you start by telling us how to pronounce your name, please?
Yes, I am on the call. And can you guys hear me well?
Yeah, it's better now. We can hear you a little better. Thank you.
Okay. I can hear you well, and my name, yes, you pronounced quite well. It's Boambangi. As you mentioned, I am one of the commissioners and also currently the manager for translation and interpreting services here at Spectrum Health. There is a few questions that have been raised, and I'd like to address some of those questions in the few minutes that I have. And one of the first questions is that, what can healthcare providers do now to become involved, even refugee assistance programs, and really all stakeholders who are interested in this idea of certification? There's no question that, for example, even referencing what's happening right now in the area of the healthcare legislation, there's no question that those who are interested in the healthcare and healthcare field are also, trying to see how they can respond internally to those pressures. And so that's the same thing with certification, that I think as we move forward in terms of the development of this certification, is that healthcare organizations do have a lot to gain from this process. In fact, recently, the Joint Commission, in collaboration with the Health and Human Services, just put out a very good video that really enhanced the importance of effective communications when during the encounter, patient encounter with the providers. You know, there's no question that the hospitals are very, very interested, in better outcomes and quality of care. And effective communication is one of those that, they need to be able to have, especially for patients who are less English proficient. So which basically means that the idea of certification here is to be able to assure that the professionals who are working within that system, that they can be able to provide the support that is of high quality, that it can, hospital organization can rest assured that the knowledge and the abilities and the skills of those interpreters are up to bar in terms to be able to participate in within that encounter. And the second question that which I've kind of partly answered is also in terms of how will certification benefit medical interpreters, healthcare providers. Well, I've addressed the idea of healthcare providers. Personally, myself, I'm a Swahili interpreter, and I think, as you know, even though it's not a very highly utilized language, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there's no question there's in other areas that it's utilized, and even not even Swahili itself, there's no question there's other. As an interpreter, I am interested in this certification because there's no question that you bring, the level of. It will actually enhance the profession as a whole. Just as, for example, when you're having the certification for, as an X-ray tech or as a nurse or, and all those kind of things. So those are very important, it actually elevates the profession and it brings, a lot of good things actually to it. And the third portion of this is that, are there disadvantages to certification for these groups? These groups meaning medical interpreters or healthcare providers. In fact, I honestly do not see any disadvantage at all. What I do see is truly advantages. And as I've already indicated in all, from what I have said and even from what the Kathy has mentioned in Mara, is that the certification is really what it does is to be able to, to assure, competency, is to be able to, make sure that the knowledge and abilities of those individuals are, are measured or kind of tested, to be able to make sure that, the patients, at the end of the day, really the patient receives the care that they truly deserve, that they have, so I don't see any truly disadvantage in terms of having this certification. I do see it as more enhancing the field. I do see it as more of something that will be of benefit to healthcare organization and the medical interpreters. And I guess for me, for a call to other healthcare providers out there is to be able to say, join us in the process. Of course, as Kathy has indicated, the website, register and see what is happening in that area. They kind of know the timeline, kind of know what is going to be included in this certification test. So you're preparing your staff or you're talking to your vendors that you get the services from so that they can, to make sure that they are all either, attuned into what is happening nationally. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much, Mr. Bambangu. It's certainly interesting and important to hear the healthcare provider perspective and the individual interpreter perspective. So thanks for providing those for us. Our next honored presenter is also a commissioner on the CCHI, and his name is Jonathan Levy. He is an experienced educator who's been involved in the testing, training, and provision of interpreters for over 10 years. He's the lead curriculum specialist
and the former assistant director for the University of Arizona's National Center for Interpretation. He's a member of the board of directors of the California Healthcare Interpreting Association, and as I said, a commissioner of the CCHI. Mr. Levy, are you with us?
I'm with you. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes. Thank you. I can hear you well. I hope everyone else can.
Okay. Well, thank you for the introduction. And for those of you who signed on a little late, I'd just like to encourage you to press star 6 to mute your line, which might reduce some of the interference you're getting. I don't know. It's the echo is creating a bit of existential crisis for me. So.
Yeah, and also to add to what he said, please don't use cell phones and don't use speaker phones, and do not put the call on hold. Thank you.
Well, I just want to thank all you all for getting in on the call today, because really the issue of certification is just so critical in our field. And as an employee of CIRICOM, the language service provider, my perspective as a commissioner is often from the private sector. And one of the issues that often comes up, or one of the questions that comes up, is how will certification help language service providers? Is it something that they would be on board with? Just from the get-go, I want to clarify one point, and that is that for our company and for many language service providers like us, the key to certification and the key to embracing a certification is it has to be developed properly. And what we mean by that is, for us, the specialty means it has to be vendor neutral. And that means that the certification instrument has to be developed in a way that is not unduly influenced by any one player in the language service provision field. And we feel that the commission, as it was set up, was the best way to ensure that the certification would be just that, a vendor-neutral quality certification that reflected the needs of the profession. So after that, a valid certification is really just in the interest of everyone. And going back to what Fred was saying about why hospitals would get on board with this certification, it's because certification would eliminate doubt for our clients, the hospitals we work with. And by that I mean, if they know that our interpreters are working towards the standard of certification, then they know the quality of the service they'll be receiving. And this is huge, as all you guys know, because it's been so difficult for all of us to establish the credentials of interpreters. So this would be a huge step forward in eliminating that doubt for our clients, who then just like what we do better. And as a for-profit, that increases our profits, and that's, you know, the nature of our business. And so we fully support this type of certification. Along with that, in many ways, the other way that it helps is it just helps establish quality across the board. And one of the challenges language service providers find is when they go out to recruit interpreters, it's very difficult to establish, especially in languages of lesser diffusion, as Kathy was talking about, exactly what the credentials are that the interpreters bring with them. Certification would help reduce that doubt, and so it makes our job all that easier. It also helps us to calibrate our internal testing and training that we do for our own interpreters to an external standard that's valid. And so we know that what we're working towards will be at the level necessary to provide the type of service our clients expect. So in those terms, it also helps us do our job better. And one other thing, you know, as Mara, going back to something Mara mentioned about the certification being a preferred requirement as opposed to a mandated requirement, this is really a key point, because we feel that, you know, it's going to take a while for language services providers like us to get all of our interpreters up to the, you know, essentially to get them up to the level of certification, to get them certified. But as we work on that, those of us who are able to successfully do that will be a preferred vendor for clients, for hospitals out there. And that's a market differentiator for us. it allows us to say that, yes, we are working towards this external criteria, and that's what you should take into consideration when considering our services as opposed to another. So again, it just helps quality across the board. It'll help the delivery of our product to our clients. And it, in the end, will help non-English speakers access the services that they really need. So from our perspective in the private sector, that's where certification really helps us.
Okay, Jonathan Levy, thank you so much for a very thoughtful presentation, particularly from the perspective of language service providers, but also for everybody else who's a stakeholder. So I think that we all have a lot to comment on, a lot of questions, no doubt, and opinions that everyone would like to share regarding these presentations. Again, thank you so much to our four presenters, and it's our hope that you can all remain on the call for the rest of the call so that you can answer questions and chime into our discussion. Now we are going into the guided discussion section of the call. So we're going to have about 45 minutes where all the call participants should have opportunities to participate by speaking. Again, I'd like to reiterate some of the rules we have so that we can do our best to be able to hear each other. We've had a lot of sound interference. Again, no speaker phones, no cell phones. Put your call on mute if anyone's talking to you. And also, please do not put the call on hold. Okay, so that people can speak without being interrupted, again, please listen as others speak and write notes about what you'd like to say when it comes to be your turn. If you would, when you do speak, keep your remarks fairly short, at least try not to go over a minute in your remarks since there are so many participants. And when you do speak for the first time, if you'd please introduce yourself, give your name, the organization you work for, and your state. All right, now we have four questions for general discussion, and I'm just going to give a brief summary of each one so you'll get a sense in advance where you'd like to participate. The first question will be, you're going to have a chance to ask the commissioners whatever you'd like to ask them. If they don't want to answer, they'll tell you, but that's your chance to ask them questions. The second question will be asking you for particular advice that you'd like to give to the CCHI. The third will be asking you to talk about opportunities and concerns that you might have regarding the certification process, particularly things that you'd like the CCHI to know about and to address. And then the last question will be about the calendar. How soon, in your opinion, should certification take place? Concerns about going too fast, concerns about going too slow. If you'd share all of those as well, especially things that you want the CCHI to take into account. Okay, so thank you. Now, again, I'm going to go question by question, and we'll have you'll have a little over 10 minutes to discuss each one of these four questions. So the first question is there a question that you would still like, after having heard the presenters, to ask the presenters on a question that we have not addressed so far on the call? So here's your chance to speak directly to the commissioners. Go ahead and please give a brief introduction before you speak and keep your remarks to a minute or so. Thank you.
My name is Amanda. I do have a question. I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina. I work at Lexington Medical Center. I'm over interpreter services. And you had mentioned fall of 2010 as being when the testing should first be available. And I have Spanish interpreters, Chinese interpreters, Korean interpreters of several languages. And their question they've been asking me is if this date would be just Spanish or all languages, or what's going to be available at that time.
Great. This is Mara, and I think it's likely going to be between Spanish and all languages. Some of what we need to do is to gather the data from interpreters about what the most frequently interpreted languages are. And that's certainly where we're going to start our focus, but that's not going to be the end of our focus. Part of what we also need to determine, and this is what that job task survey does for us, is what's the blueprint or the parameters of the examination? As I said before, we can't go in with any preconceived notions. We we kind of think that an interpreter interpreting in Chinese has similar knowledge, skills, and abilities to an interpreter of Swahili, to an interpreter of Spanish. If the job task survey results show us that, then we really are developing one test and needing to translate some or all of it into multiple languages. If we find that different language interpreters actually do different things on the job and have different knowledge, skills, and abilities, then we've got to go down a different path. And that's, you know, developing possibly different tests. So it's a little bit hard to answer that question. We also, in the companies that we've been talking to about test development, we're very conscious of the need to make sure that there's no cultural bias involved in the development of the test, and all these companies that we've been talking to actually do lots of work across the world. So they've got a lot of experience in that. And then, as I said, we're going to have to determine how much of the test is actually translated and how you do the sort of the oral component. How do you either simulate an interpreter encounter or otherwise be able to test that the interpreter has the skills to actually do the oral communication and not just take a written test? And so we fully expect that we will be able to launch in more than just Spanish in fall of 2010. But we need to gather a bit more data and a bit more information about what our test is going to look like before we can make decisions about how many languages. And a lot of this really is a crystal ball until we get that data back. And we can't make decisions until we have that data, because otherwise we're not developing a valid and credible certification program.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
Yes. My name's Marlene Hudson. I'm an interpreter in California. And my question is, if developing a national testing system, how will that affect us statewide? And my reason for this question is that I recently contacted the state of California for testing. The state is not currently testing, certifying. The reason is that they don't have the funds. They don't have a timeline for reinstating the testing, which puts us as individual interpreters kind of in a bind for complying. I asked them if I could go elsewhere to test. They said absolutely not, because if I test outside the state, my certification will not be valid in the state of California. So how is this going to work?
My understanding was California had certification for workers' comp interpreters, but not generally for healthcare interpreters. Is that incorrect?
She told me all they had was court and... What did you tell me? Court and medical.
It's workers' comp.
Medical.
Medical in
workers' comp.
Okay.
And
so,
that was pretty much it. And
right now they don't
have a timeline for it.
Okay. We're developing certification for healthcare interpreters, not specifically workers' comp, and certainly not for the courts where certification has already been developed both in the federal and the state courts to a certain degree. As I said before, we will be administering our certification program nationally. It will then be up to individual states to determine if they want to require certification for state licensing of interpreters or otherwise require certification for other issues, such as paying for interpreters in certain health programs. That's not something we can predict, and that's not something we are pushing for immediately, because as I think Jonathan said, this is a process. Once certification exists, it's going to take time for both interpreters to understand the process, apply and get certified, but also for others to recognize the benefits of certification. And so, you know, we really think it's a long-term process. How it's going to go in each state sort of remains to be seen. It also might be that certain healthcare entities or providers decide, you know, a certain hospital decides it's only going to hire certified interpreters, but that's sort of beyond the control of CCHI.
Thank you
so much. Other questions?
Hi, this is Sasha Federiuk calling from Access Community Health Centers in Madison, Wisconsin. I have a question about the survey that will be sent out hopefully next month about gathering more information about training and the things that are done on the job for interpreters. What requirements will need to be met for interpreters to take that survey? And how will people who are not connected with the larger interpreting community be able to get this survey and be able to fill in the information that's asked of them?
Good.
One of the other guys want to take this one, or you want me to answer it?
Well, this is Frederick. I can take the. I think what's going to happen after, you know, when the survey goes out is that, you know, this is going to be available on, yes, first of all, on the major REST apps, but also through our website, which is going to be the healthcarecertification.org. You know, you should be able to go there and be able to have a link and be able to take the survey.
For example, at the clinic, this is Sasha Federiuk again. At the clinic in which I work, there's a list of interpreters that we have, especially that are non-Spanish languages that they interpret for. Will this be something that within our organization we can sort of have our interpreters that are on our list have access to and be able to take this?
Correct.
The survey
to
be able to.
Yes.
And do you encourage us to do this?
Yes.
The survey is free. We want as many people to take it because the more people that take it, the more valid and reliable the data is. So what we're going to be doing, as Fred said, if you are on CCHI's mailing list, you'll automatically get an announcement when the survey is ready and you'll get a link. It'll certainly be prominent on our website in early January, and we will be working through other avenues of disseminating information. So, for example, a lot of our advisors who aren't necessarily in the interpreting world but are in the healthcare world, we're working with them to help get the news out through their network. And if you have other ideas, please let us know. So we're happy to write newsletter articles, to do presentations like this, anything that you think will help get the word out. But we really want this to be as nationally representative as possible. And so, yes, you can distribute it far and wide once the link is out there.
This is the
I'm
facilitator.
Looking forward to it.
Is
Thank
it free?
You.
Is it free, the survey?
It is absolutely free.
And this is Jonathan. And just to also expand on that, it's interpreters, interpreter trainers, and managers are encouraged to fill out the survey. And as Mara said, and I don't think it could be emphasized enough, this is really the opportunity for everyone to have their voices heard about what certification should look like. So we're reaching out to interpreting associations nationally. We're reaching out to other organizations to just get as much participation as possible, because that's what will really lead to a valid instrument. So can't emphasize that enough. This, you tell everyone to participate.
Great.
This is Donna. Can I ask a question quickly just on that subject? This is Donna at the California Healthcare Interpreting Association. And my question is, you know, in California, which obviously has a lot of need, that need is in large part addressed, obviously, not by people who are interpreters or who self-identify as interpreters or, you know, maybe interpret under contract and are interpreters but don't identify with as being healthcare interpreters. And is their experience as, you know, interpreting in a clinical setting, does that then get incorporated somehow? Or is the survey more for people who just self-identify as healthcare interpreters?
This is Jonathan again. Hey, Don, good to hear you. I think their input is essential. And I think that in states like California and other states where a lot of dual-role interpreters are used, I think it's really valuable if the managers in those hospitals encourage their bilingual staff who provide interpretation to fill out the survey. Because I think, for as many of us know, that is a very large percentage of who is actually providing the service. And those issues were taken into account in the job task analysis that was just completed. Because when that was established, the criteria for who should take part, you know, one of the questions was, well, who's actually doing this now? It's not who should be doing this or who would we like to be doing this. It's who is really providing interpreting services today. And we all know that's who's doing it in a lot of places. So their input, I would say, is crucial. And so for the managers out there and for the people who are involved in associations, yes, encourage them to participate.
This is Cornelia Brown. Another question. What if you are a court interpreter primarily, but you also interpret in medical settings? Could you take that survey?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
We really are looking for anyone who is working to any degree in healthcare interpreting and health interpreting. So the hospitals, the clinics, public health departments, long-term care, any health or healthcare related setting, if folks are interpreting there, whether it be full-time, part-time, dual role, video, telephonic, in-person, you name it, we want your input. And then we will ask certain demographic questions, like we assemble the matrix for our job task analysis panel, and we're going to make sure that we have representation from all those different subsets, so that we really can, you know, is telephonic interpreting different from in-person interpreting, or do you need the same knowledge, skills, and ability? Sort of what I was saying before about different languages. So we would encourage, if anyone does any type of interpreting in the health or healthcare arena, to take it and let us get that data from you, because that's going to help influence, as Jonathan said, the development of certification so it can be as broadly representative as possible.
Great. We have about one more minute to ask questions, so jump in if you'd like to.
I have a question. I have a question. This is Adele or Dee Dee Martin from Gunderson Lutheran in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I'm just wondering, I get emails from Language Line Services and the work that they're doing. How does that fit in with this process, or does it fit in at all, and what's happening there?
I can't really speak to what Language Line is dealing. They are not working with CCHI. CCHI is its own entity and its own organization, and as we said, our mission is developing certification in a national, valid, credible, and vendor-neutral way. So beyond that, I really can't speak to their efforts.
Okay, so we should really be focusing on the CCHI and not really worry about Language Line?
I can't give you that advice, but...
This is about Arosha. I have a question.
If you'd like to rephrase, you can go ahead.
No, I think I'll just leave it hanging out there. I'm all for CCHI.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a little more time if you want to ask the commissioners a question in the slot, time slot.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Lucio Santos from Milford Regional Medical Center.
Yes.
Massachusetts. I have a question that, will this be in any way an approach by the CCHI to the federal government to have any input or any ideas on how to make this a mandate for the importance of the Language Line in the service of healthcare? Thank you.
This is Mara. We certainly have talked to folks in the federal government, and as I mentioned earlier, we have representatives from the federal HHS Office of Minority Health and the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services working with us as advisors. But it is not CCHI's intent to push for certification as a mandate in the federal government. As we sort of talked about before, Jonathan said, I think Fred and Kathy have said, we really believe that certification is something that is done by non-governmental entities, and that's how it's done by other certification programs. And it's set up as a voluntary process. And the benefits are clear, is it does establish the competency of interpreters, and it does help you all demonstrate that you have the knowledge, skills, and abilities that are needed. And it makes it easier for healthcare providers and language companies and government folks to take someone's competency at their word and not have to go and investigate or develop their own test or search to see if someone really is competent when they say they are. They have a mark from CCHI that says they're certified. That's going to be sufficient for many folks. Whether the federal government or state governments decide to make this a requirement, that may happen down the road, but it is not an issue CCHI wants to be pushing anytime soon, because we know that this is a process. We know we might not offer certification in 300-plus languages right away, and that there are going to be other challenges to folks based on, you know, where you live or rural areas or languages of lesser diffusion, that it's going to take time for certification to be understood and accepted and for interpreters to get certified.
Thank you so much. Thanks
to
everybody. Eric?
Hi, Cornelia. This is Eric Hart from Boston. I realized I've been on mute. I've been trying to throw this question in. Actually, this is a question for Jonathan and a response to a couple of questions ago about, quote, what LanguageLine is doing. I am a monolingual doctor from Boston Medical Center. I've been involved in the founding of the IMIA and the NCIHC. Don't worry, I'll keep this to 60 seconds. I'm on the board of directors of Pacific Interpreters, one of the competitors of LanguageLine, Cyrocom, and the other for-profit providers of medical interpretation in the industry. And just to clarify that there is another national program for certification of medical interpreters. This is the program that is connected with LanguageLine in that it is supported, it was founded by the combination of LanguageLine and the IMIA, formerly the MMIA, in much in a parallel way that the NCIHC and Cyrocom have supported the CCHI. We are a little bit ahead of CCHI. The test, people are already signing up for the test. You can go there by going to the IMIA website. The written test is going to be given starting the Monday after Christmas, and the oral test will soon follow in Spanish and in many languages during the year. And I'll stop putting out an ad for the National Board of Certification. My question for Jonathan is, you know, I think from seeing now working in the industry with Pacific interpreters, I think it's a good thing that we have competition in the industry around medical interpretation. I see that typically this is what raises quality, raises availability, probably decreases costs for hospitals and providers, and hopefully will increase salary and benefits for medical interpreters. And just from my point of view, maybe it's not such a bad thing that we have, or will soon have, when you guys are up and running, two national boards of certification for medical interpretation. The competition and availability of two sites may make all of us better, all of us cheaper, and all of us more widely recognized. I'm wondering what you see as the future of these two organizations as different industry leaders support one or both of them. What is the possibility of them coming together ultimately and merging into one nationally recognized body?
This is Jonathan. Thanks for the question. It's an interesting one, but I'd be very reluctant to speculate on what the future may hold. I think that in terms of the point you made about competition, I think you're absolutely right. I think in general it is to the benefit of everyone involved when there is solid competition within a profession on a fair and level playing field. I think that in general, in many other professions, there is more than one certification instrument available, so people can choose. I think for the vast majority of hospitals out there, they'd probably want to look very closely at the two processes and kind of compare and contrast how they were developed and in what capacity to make that type of decision. I think down the road, who knows what could come. I think the marketplace will shake itself out in a number of ways. I do think that the language service providers, from our perspective, we knew that we wanted to be involved in this process because it's really for the benefit of our clients to get something in place. And so when done properly, it will help us all in the ways that I mentioned earlier. One of the things that we at Cyrocom were working towards was a certain transparency involved in the process. So early on, we determined that we wanted to make some of our standards for testing and certification that we work to internally open source material. So we actually made our testing methodologies and some of our curriculum open to anyone who wanted to see it, because we knew that if there are standards going to be set, that type of transparency is necessary so that everyone can see how the process is evolving. So I appreciate the question, and I guess the answer would just have to be, we'll wait and see.
Thank you very much, everybody. Now let's go on to the next question so we'll have a chance to get through all four. That is question two to you, the participants. The next question is, what advice do you have for CCHI that you'd like to convey now to them? And we have under 10 minutes now for this, so jump right in, please.
Hi, this is Eric Kamide. I'm a director of Translation and Interpreting Program at Florida International University in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned that there is no representation from the academic community in the board. I think that is a crucial issue when it comes to the proficiency testing, which is a very definite scientific instrument that needs to be linguistically sound. And in particular, you know, I would like to see linguists on the board involved. Because the way we work in the academic community is that any instrument that is put forth has to be open to peer review. And I'm afraid that if this process goes forward without academic input, when the time comes, the my colleagues will not support it because they are going to review it. To the extent that they're able to review it, and they're going to find faults that could have been avoided if their input had been sought.
Cornelia, can I answer that?
Sure, go ahead.
Great. First of all, we do have Maria Michaelzak from Portland Community College and the Institute for Health Professionals. She is one of our commissioners, and we also are working with some of our certification experts who have an academic background. But more importantly, in the test development process, which will occur after the completion of the job task analysis, we will be bringing in subject matter experts to develop to do item writing, to actually develop the items for the test, to review and approve the items for the test, and then to do pilot testing of the test. So I completely understand your concerns and think that you will see a lot more representation of folks as we develop the test and we move forward. Because the important thing to note is that the CCHI commissioners are guiding this process, but we are not the subject matter experts who can develop all aspects of the certification program. Rather, we can help identify those folks, and we'll be looking and putting out a request for folks who have that relevant expertise as we move forward through all of the steps in certification. So it's a very valid concern and one which we certainly have discussed, and I hope that you'll continue to talk to us and would love to talk more offline, but I think you'll see that happening as we move actually into test development, because it won't be the commissioners writing the test. It will be folks that we can bring in and work with who are we'll have expertise as linguists, as test developers, as test writers to move into that process.
Okay. Thank you for the advice. That's wonderful. Do people have some more advice they'd like to give to the commissioners?
This is Isabella Rocha from the IMIA. And
okay.
I guess it's more a concern than an advice, but just trying to understand the efficiency of a policy of duplication of work in terms of the fact that there was a national job analysis done early in this year that was scientific and, you know, has the validity and the credibility of a national job analysis. So I'm just trying to understand the value of, you know, utilization of funds and resources to redo this work when we all can together further work that done. It's a bit of a duplicating everything that has been done recently on this work.
Would some of the commissioners like to comment on that?
Isabel, this is Mara, and I appreciate the work that you have put into developing your work. And CCHI was launched with a mission of developing national valid and credible certification. And so I think, as Eric recognized, there are some benefits to having two processes, and CCHI is committed to doing the work that was been in discussion for over 20 years ago, and
many of us, including you, had started a number of years ago. And so, you know, I look forward to seeing the development of both, and I look forward to CCHI completing its work on its mission and moving the process forward, because we believe that the work we're doing is critical and is going to result in a certification program that will validate the conversations that have been happening over the 20 years and really will work with interpreters as we develop this and involve interpreters in every step of the process so that folks know what is going on and can participate actively as we move forward.
Thank you. Any other person want to share a word of advice?
Yes, this is Eric Kamait again. I don't particularly see the existence of two competing programs, certification programs, as positive in the long run. I think that in the short run, I think it is, but in the long run, there may be a merger, or preferably there'll be a specialization of each one. And let me just say what I think would be beneficial. There are two distinct sets of interpreters that would be taking this certification test with unique characteristics. One is the dedicated interpreters, whether they're in person or most of the time they're going to be telephonic. And the other is the dual role interpreters, who basically work in hospitals as healthcare professionals, and they're already interpreting on an ad hoc basis. And there, some hospitals are establishing training and certification or qualification mechanisms to train and screen their staff, their bilingual staff. The Joint Commission prefers an in-person interpreter over a remote interpreter, and the in-person interpreter for most hospitals is going to be one of these dual role interpreters. Now, they do have an advantage in being able to manage the communication flow so that they can make up for level of proficiency in their bilingual or their interpreting ability by being able to manage the flow of communication, whereas a telephonic interpreter would need to be held to a higher standard because they don't have the same ability. So basically what I'm getting at is the possibility of two certifications, one for dual role interpreters and another one for dedicated interpreters, because I'm afraid that we are heading on a collision course between the two groups, and hospitals in particular have a very important interest in having this certification open to their healthcare professionals who are bilingual, who are dual role interpreters, and the certification can in fact become biased towards remote interpreters or language line interpreters to the detriment of hospital healthcare bilingual healthcare workers who are dual role.
Thank you. Do commissioners want to comment on that?
This is Frederick. I think for me, my comments are this. Speaking from the healthcare provider perspective, for example, if I give you an example, I have over 33 interpreters, and their main work is basically to interpret. They don't have any other role that they perform within the healthcare system. Their role is to go out and be able to take care of our patients and families. So from that perspective, there's no question that, both, and I think Jonathan kind of hinted to this, that even Mala actually also spoke to this same question, and that is that the feedback that we get in January, there's no question that it's going to dictate in terms of what kind of tests are developed in the long run. If, for example, now we find that there is more interpreters who are providing interpreting over the phone, and then those who are providing in person, all the bilingual, you know, staff, you know, for dual role, sorry, staff, then I think there's no question that, you know, in the development of the test, you know, that will be taken into account. So I don't think it's going to put one group in the disadvantage with the other. It's more in terms of, you know, when that we have that feedback, there is no question that all factors will be taken into account, so at least to be able to make sure that, you know, all stakeholders are accommodated in some way to move basically the profession forward, and also to assure the competency of those interpreters as we move forward. I think it's a good thing for our patients.
Thank you. Our next question is...
I would like to say something.
Oh, yeah.
This is Irene Rector from Salem Hospital. Can you hear me?
Can you listen? I'm the facilitator. I just don't want us to run out of time. Maybe your next question will fit into the next rubric, but so everyone starts thinking about it. What opportunities and also concerns would you like the CCHI to know about as they go forward?
Well, this is Irene Rector from Salem Hospital, and I think that the commission has the organization has a big job cut out for them. However, I would like to state that they will be able to handle it very well because they have worked for a while in meeting the professional world with the interpreter's world, meaning that we are going to be well represented by TIA in coming up with something that will bridge not just the interpreter that is on site, but the telephonic interpreter. There is no need for us to decide that one is going to be in conflict for the other. I have worked as an interpreter for 15 years, and I see the space for the telephonic and for the on-site interpreter.
This is Jonathan, and I'd like to speak to that just briefly. Because what Eric, what you brought up, and Irene, what you just were speaking to, it's a critical question when certification is at hand. And the important piece is when the process is done right, when the job task analysis is done correctly, we'll really get to the issue of, does a dual role do something differently than a dedicated on-site interpreter? And does an over-the-phone interpreter do something inherently differently than the other two, than on-site interpretation? And when those and just the easiest example is over-the-phone interpreters don't ever do site translation. So would you have a test that would include site translation and expect over-the-phone interpreters to take that test? That isn't really a valid instrument to assess what their skills are because it's something they never do. So those kinds of questions have to be hammered out. And in order for that to be done accurately and properly, the process has to be followed, and we really need the input of the interpreters because that's where we really find out the differences in who's doing what and how. So I, you know, maybe down the road there are endorsements for certain types of interpretation in certain environments. We don't know that yet, but we'll be learning the answers to those questions from the participation of your interpreters and the people you work with. So this is the fascinating stuff. This is the fun part of certification development as we start looking at those issues.
This is Janet Bonnet in Omaha, and I have thinking of the future. How will the test be, or the information on the test and the certification be maintained? Who's going to be the administrating entity? And then also, are there CEUs going to be involved for maintaining the certification? Has that been addressed, and who's going to be taking care of that? And then also, how often will the exam be offered? How will it be offered? Is it going to be offered nationally, or will we have to travel great distances to be able to even take the exam?
Those are all very good questions. This is Mara again. CCHI is committed to the ongoing maintenance of the examination that it develops, and so we will be overseeing that process, and we will likely be working with test administrators through the administration and also work with us to continue to make sure that the exam is updated and items are written to replace items that may go out of date or that need to be replaced for other reasons. In terms of continuing education, it is likely that that's going to be part of the process. How that will be discussed and developed remains to be seen, in part, again, based on the data that we get from that job task analysis. But we, you know, as in many other fields, it's not usually certification for life, but that there are some requirements for ongoing continuing education. That's something we certainly will be evaluating and addressing. In terms of how often the examination will be offered, again, we're going to be working with test administrators on that, but we do, we are very committed to making sure that it is widely available and that folks would not have to travel great distances in order to do that. And there's lots of advances in modern technology about test administration and where tests can be offered, as long as there are certain security protocols and proctoring in place, that likely will be things that PCHI will very actively look into to make sure that the test is widely available on a regular basis in all parts of the country without folks having to travel to a certain location on a certain date in order to become certified.
Thank you very much. As Mara was talking a bit about calendaring, I'd like to use that as a segue to the last question, which also has to do about calendaring. That is, how soon should certification take place? And that would concern your ideas about what might be too soon. What does it mean to do it too soon? What does it mean to do it too late? What recommendations might you have for the CCHI regarding the calendar for certification? And this is our last question, and so we have about a little less than 10 minutes left on the call.
When you talk about putting the exam out, are you talking about the pilot for this fall or having the full exam for this fall? I believe that's what I heard earlier in the call.
Yeah, we anticipate having the full exam out by the fall. Now, fall can run pretty late in the calendar, as folks know. But we do expect to be piloting. You know, I can't give exact dates yet because in large part, you know, as I keep going back to the job task survey, we need to make sure the respondents are representative of the profession. So we anticipate it being completed in January, but if for some reason we need to, you know, extend that, that may affect the timeline a bit. But I would expect that we're pilot testing, you know, certainly well before the end of the fall, and that we actually can have the first examination available in the fall.
So what are people's thoughts on certification? How soon is too soon? How long is too long? What would be your recommendations for CCHI in that respect?
This is Linda Joyce from West Virginia, and I think we're, with, given the health reform that's going through Congress and the advocacy efforts that are going on, certification and the, is needed now, and interpreters have been requesting it for a long time, as we've noticed in our conferences over the last few years, asking if people are ready for certification. Many are ready. There is a certification exam ready right now. You can register and take it. It'll you can register starting December 28th and take it starting January. So certification should have been done yesterday. Because of patient safety and quality of care. So I encourage everyone to get certified now through the National Board.
This is Jonathan Levy, and I'd just like to say that when talking about this, there is this, and interpreters are some of the loudest people saying we need certification now, but I always think of it very similar to drug test trialing. If you don't do the process correctly, and it may take a little more time, you have unwanted consequences. And I think of certification the same way. Yes, interpreters want it now because they see the negative impact of unqualified interpreters on a daily basis. But we have to do this process right. And it has to be done in a way that will ensure an equity of credentialing across the board. So I think we're doing the CCHI is doing a fine job of laying out a proper, transparent process that will result in a quality credential down the road.
This is Luana Denny from an ACN, we're a language services provider. If I may add, more from the standpoint of interpreters, we are really interested in becoming certified, having the certification as a mechanism of credentials that can prove, you know, the quality of the work that we can provide. Nevertheless, I mean, we have to take into consideration that interpreters are ready to jump into it and start registering for the first program available. I am really interested in seeing if there is any possibility that that timeline can be reduced, given the fact that most interpreters are not going to be able to pay for two different certification credentials at a time. So I'm afraid that the first option available will become the most popular initially.
Comment. Anyone
well,
else want
to... this is Mara, and we have looked very carefully at the time frame, and while we are very committed to doing this in as efficient a manner as possible, some of these steps just do take time. And so we've been ambitious in saying that between September of 2009 and the fall of 2010, we're going to be ready. And we as commissioners have committed ourselves to working exceptionally hard to reduce any delays that could come up due to our own internal processes. And so, for example, when a decision has to be made, we are going to get the information and make it quickly and not let folks take 2 or 3 months to, you know, think about it, mull over it, et cetera. But on the other hand, because we want this to be valid and credible, we're going to make sure that we follow every step that is recommended by the Institute for Credentialing Excellence, that is a condition for CCHI getting its certification program accredited by the National Commission for Certifying Agencies, and that are recommended by the folks, the exceptionally well-qualified folks we have employed as consultants to CCHI because of their expertise in the certification world. So some folks have said we're not going fast enough. Some folks have said we're going too fast. We really are trying to do this in the way that the result is valid, and that when interpreters and the healthcare providers who work with interpreters and patients take a really good hard look at the process that we went through and the transparent nature of every step that we're doing, they will understand the benefit of being CCHI certified, and we look forward to working with everyone as we develop our program.
This is Eric Kamide. I wanted to suggest that there is a trade-off between speed and quality, and I think that CCHI has been moving very fast on this. I'm very glad. I think that something to consider is to make a two-prong approach, in the sense that a written test, knowledge-based, is something that can be put together a lot faster than an oral proficiency test, which needs considerable development and piloting. So, in fact, after the survey in January, you would be in a position to very quickly finalize a written test. So you can have that out as a first stage towards certification. If a person passes the written, then they're eligible to take the oral when it becomes available. And then, have a little bit more time to really do a good job on the oral proficiency exam, which is really the crucial part of this whole thing. To go back very briefly to the question I raised before and that Jonathan partly answered, there are certain things that cannot be measured by a recorded oral exam. And one of those things is the ability to control the flow of communication, in which many people are very skilled at, even though they may not have the same language skills as somebody else, who is not as good a communicator. So that's where, there are limitations to that test, and there are many, many considerations. It's a very complex instrument that needs time to be developed correctly. So I would favor this kind of like two-tier approach. First, come out with a written test, and then take a little bit more time to come out with a really solid oral proficiency exam.
Thank you so much. This is
Thank
the facilitator.
You.
I think we're going to have to make our closing remarks, because
We're just running out of time. Thank you so much for everybody for participation. I'm sure this has been very helpful to the CCHI and to everybody in the country working on the certification for healthcare interpreters. Want to remind everyone of the follow-up procedures for this call. After the call, participants should consult the website for the National Council on Interpreting in Healthcare, ncihc.org, for a recording of the call and an accompanying outline. If you have any further thoughts about the content of this call, please feel free to email the National Council at outreach@ncihc.org, outreach@ncihc.org, or to post your comments on the NCIHC listserv.
And Cornelia?
Okay, thank you, and thank
Cornelia?
You very much to our four presenters. Yes.
This is Mara. I just want to give out CCHI's website and contact info so folks can look at that as well.
Please.
The website was mentioned before. It's www.healthcareinterpretercertification.org. If you have any questions, you can just email them to info@healthcareinterpretercertification.org, or you can call us at 202-683-1999. And we encourage folks to sign up for our mailing list, and you'll get our monthly updates as well as information about how to get more involved. And you can sign up on our website as well.
So thanks, everybody, for joining the open call on healthcare interpreting sponsored by the NCIHC and organized by the Outreach Committee. Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters leading the way.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.